Thank you, Christoph and Abby. That was wonderful. Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for coming. It's great to be here with you this morning. Please open your Bibles as we continue in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. And here Paul says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let us pray. Yes, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Almighty, yes, we yearn for the understanding, the truth that is only available in salvation in Christ alone. We thank you that you are our deliverer, our refuge. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and your peace. Lord, we think of this country and this world, and we think even about the protest, the peaceful protest. Lord, I pray that you would bless it, that you would guide it, that you would open the eyes of the understanding, even of the leaders in this country, to know that freedom must be returned, freedom in Christ. Lord, we pray for the Christians on the ground back east who are leading and directing. Lord, I pray that a hedge of protection would be around them by your Spirit, that you would lead them, that you would direct them. And Lord, even now, I think, even now on this very day, as I heard even this yesterday, the latest, there is a pastor in jail in isolation right now as we speak. And we pray for Pastor Pawlowski, Lord. We pray that you would be his comfort even in this time, that even this time where this country has come to the point where it imprisons pastors. Shameful. Shameful, Lord. But Lord, we pray that man meant it for bad, but God means it for good. And Lord, we pray that even in prison, Lord, he would be useful for you, the cause of Christ. Lord, we pray for those who are not well. We can't mention all the names, Lord. You know who they are. We don't want to miss any. Those that are not feeling well, I've spoken to some of them this week. Those that are sick with the flu. Those who have lost their jobs. Those who are in despair. Those who are having a hard time meeting ends meet, Lord, financially, Lord, and their health. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would guide them, that they would know that you have a way, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we thank you for it. We bless your name. We thank you that you are a faithful God. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood shed on the cross, Lord, for us to cleanse us from our sin. Lord, we thank you for your righteousness. Lord, I pray that we would be strong in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless this service and the speaking of your word this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. So last week, I need to settle down here a little bit. You pray for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to get a hold of you, as I always do, even before I come up, and he somehow never fails. And we know that he never fails, don't we? So last week, as we considered verses 3 and 4, we were reminded, just as a brief review, that we are not just soldiers of Christ. You see, that's not good enough, isn't it? For we must be, as we read, good soldiers who belong to Christ, good and righteous soldiers who trust and obey. Who are we obeying? We're obeying the captain of our salvation, ready to endure hardship that we may please him who has chosen us to be a soldier. And just before we continue, I would like to consider that last phrase, verse 4b, that we may please him who has chosen him, who has chosen us to be a soldier. Please turn in your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2. Old Testament Haggai, it's very near the end of the Old Testament, I believe the third last book, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it is. Haggai chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. Actually, it's a very short book. The last four verses. Haggai chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the fourth and 20th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Take note of those last words. I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. To do what? To make thee as a signet, meaning Zerubbabel and the people of God, yes, the remnant, were God's chosen instruments to serve him for his glory and for his purpose. Zerubbabel was God's signet ring. You see, rulers and kings in those days would seal their declarations with a seal, their signet ring. And this signet or signet ring speaks to us of a greater signet. And you know who it is? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Zerubbabel foreshadows Christ. Zerubbabel foreshadows Christ. How is that possible? By his faithful and obedient work in rebuilding the temple of God. God encouraged them to rebuild the temple. So let's go back and pick it up at the beginning. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. And this will tell us, I believe, all we need to know. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord to the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Jotham, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Yes, the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jotham, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I am with you. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. And this Old Testament scripture should be an encouragement to us also to work fearlessly as God the Spirit directs us to rebuild and establish God's truth even in this country and in the church, the bride of Christ, as God's chosen servants. Chosen before the foundation of the earth to be together, brothers and sisters, striving for the cause of Christ right now in this time in history. And so, as faithful servants of God in Christ, we need to stop being so insecure. And instead, how about being strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? How about it? Instead of being so self-absorbed, why not take God at His word? It's called the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. Why not focus? Why not focus on the promise? The promise of life, which is in Christ. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. And then why not focus on the joy of salvation, which is what? Which is our strength, right? The joy of salvation. So let's pray that God would deliver you, would deliver me from that critical spirit. Deliver us from it. Because it leads to something. It just leads to more doubt and fear. Which is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. To be full of doubt and fear. So may today, even today, be the day we refocus on the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Unafraid. And start serving Him as what? As good soldiers should. That we may please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier. So as we continue, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and read verses 5 to 7. Second Timothy chapter 2, as we carry on, we'll read verse 5 to 7. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So what we have here is Paul. He's explaining to us with a couple more examples what it means to be a good soldier. He gives a couple of other analogies, examples. He does that to confirm and describe what a good soldier in Christ is all about, what it really is. Verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, Of course, if you're reading some of the other translations, of course, we know that means strive as an athlete. Strive as an athlete. Yet he is not crowned except he strived lawfully. Lawfully. You know, I heard a rumor this week, maybe you heard it too, that in China there's some Olympics going on. Apparently, Olympics are underway. Does anybody care? Some are referring to these Olympics as the genocide games. I wonder why. Nevertheless, as I recall and remember the Olympics of old, seemingly a time when integrity and honor was still considered a worthy attribute. I remember, as I'm sure most of you do, that every single event had rules and regulations, correct? Every single had rules and regulations that must be followed and adhered to. And if they weren't adhered to, good luck, right? Because all your striving, all your hard work, all your training wouldn't matter, would it? Wouldn't matter. There simply wasn't going to be a chance at all of winning the prize of receiving the crown. Verse 5, again. Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And this speaks to us of a spiritual truth. And it goes something like this, and I know you know it. How can we possibly receive the crown of life if we don't follow faithfully the law of God, the sovereign word of God? How can we? Well, as we read, according to the scriptures, it's not possible. It's simply not possible. Let me read it again from verse 5. Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. To receive the crown of life, we must strive lawfully. Yes, striving to become more obedient and Christ-like. Even if it means we must endure hardship as a good soldier, one who is strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And all of this speaks to us of single-mindedness. No, you know what? I think even better than just single-mindedness, it's a Christ-centered single-mindedness. A Christ-centered single-mindedness. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. You see, right here, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us those who have truly received salvation, what our response must be. What we are to do. It should be, it must be one of thanksgiving and gratitude for what? For the mercies of God, as we've read. For the mercies of God, His grace, His mercy, and His peace, redeemed and forgiven. We are sinners saved by grace in Christ alone. Yes, and I say, believe it and receive it. Even today, receive the mercies of God, the promise of life, which is in who? In Christ Jesus alone. It is the gift of God. And guess what? It has no expiry date. Because His mercies are forever. And then, is there not something reasonable, as we read, is there not something reasonable we should do about it? You know, I love those last words in verse 1. I'm not sure about the other translations, but it's in the King James Version. I love those last three words. Your reasonable service. You see, we don't worship an unreasonable God, do we? You know what? That position has been reserved for someone else, the enemy of our soul, who expects us and wants us to follow him right into the vengeance of eternal fire. Yes, he does. And I know you don't want to go there, and neither do I. And so, isn't it perfectly reasonable to present ourselves as those that have been saved, who have been redeemed, who no longer walk in shame, that sin is gone, it's forgotten? When God looks at you, he sees Christ. He doesn't see your sin anymore after you've received salvation. So isn't it reasonable that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? Is that not reasonable? God who called us, God who created us in His image and gave us life, who redeemed us and saved us. Yes, He saved us from a world of hurt. Isn't that perfectly reasonable that we serve Him? Isn't our reasonable service the least we can do? Let me see if I can put it another way, maybe. Is it an unreasonable service to worship God in spirit and in truth, praising God in Christ for His loving kindness? Is that an unreasonable expectation? I think not. I think not. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Because, you see, we no longer accommodate worldly thinking. We don't think like the world anymore. And you see, we don't need a globalist passport because we already have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Simply put, we are now concerned with something higher. We are concerned with things to come. The promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the great reset we are waiting for. It's called, you know what it is, the return of Christ in the fullness of His glory. When everything will be made new. And guess what? Without repentance, you know, the globalist will be given a passport of his own, a very personal one. And you know what entry it will give them. Right into, I think you know where, Okay, verse 2b, Romans 12. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Very important. You see, a true Christian, a true follower of Christ, has had her mind renewed. Yes, renewed by the mercies of God. And now is able, wasn't able before, but is able now to prove, to discern what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. You understand that? Now we're able to prove it, as it says there, by the renewing of our mind. We are now able to understand and discern sound words, the sound words of God. And the word perfect, as we read here, is so important. Perfect. Think about it. Think about it. Our restrictions and mandates that hinder our freedom in Christ, the perfect will of God, is the slaughter of millions of children still in their mother's womb, the perfect will of God, is pride, the perfect will of God. In 2021, the year just gone by, 2,224 people died by drug overdose in BC alone. 2,224. The year before, in 2020, over 1,700 died. Huge increase. Huge increase. You know how many it was in 2019, pre-pandemic? As sad as it is, was 984. Do you think all this COVID oppression had something to do with that huge increase? So I ask again, is that the perfect will of God? Is a jab that is now apparently being shown. Medical professionals are studying and showing, apparently, that it harms, even devastates, our God-given immune system. Think about that in terms of what's going to come. Setting us up for future illness and disease. This morning, I just happened to pick up a paper in the back on there. I think it's called Pandemic News, or I'm not sure. It's a paper out there, and I was interested as I read briefly, opened it up, and there it showed the list of side effects and harm being done by the jab. And you know what? It was a whole page long of small print. That's how much harm it potentially does. So please hear me out. And what about preachers and churches who pervert the grace of God, God's holy plan of salvation, who would rather honor man? Yeah, they would rather honor those wicked, Christ-hating tyrants than honor God in Christ. Is that the perfect will of God? And I say our reasonable service, the perfect will of God, is for us to faithfully live and preach and proclaim Christ crucified, never ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, the power of his death and resurrection. Again, salvation in Christ alone. That is the only answer, the only remedy to all this wokeness and evil. And yes, it isn't rocket science. And so, do you want to be a nonconformist? Think about it. Do you want to be a nonconformist? It's a valid question. Because in verse 2, God tells us, be not conformed to this world. Can we do that by compromising and diluting the Word of God? Can we do that by raising up preachers who tickle people's ears? Preaching a woke social justice message that is nothing more than honoring the world around us? Is that striving lawfully? And you see, there is no shortcut. We often look for shortcuts, don't we? But there is none to striving lawfully. Cherry-picking God's word is not striving lawfully. Period. Period. To strive lawfully means we must be obedient to the fullness of God's word. The fullness of God's word. Faithfully and prayerfully meditating on God's holy word. Praying that God would give us understanding, as we read. Give us understanding. Give us knowledge. Give us that discernment and wisdom that we so require, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Because I say to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, that is the only way we will be able to earnestly contend for the faith. No matter what the situation is, no matter what evil we will be faced with. Okay, before we move on to verse 6 of 2 Timothy 2, just one more thought about this word strive, as mentioned twice in verse 5. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's mentioned twice in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Must be an important word. To strive for mastery reminds us to strive with God's help for deliverance of those things that continue to tempt us, and may I say, to continue to nip at our heels. Our bitterness, our unforgiving spirit, our pride, our broken relationships, our addictions, the desire for things we know we shouldn't partake in, some that are only a click or a swipe away. Yes, and it must be. To strive lawfully, it must be prayerful. Living in the spirit of repentance. Striving again to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Having one desire. And that is, as we read, to please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier. Okay, verse 6. Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The husbandman, yes, the farmer, in other words, the farmer. The ESV puts it this way. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Again, another example of what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So I believe the key words in this verse are that laboreth, or as other translations put it, the hard-working farmer. The hard-working farmer. Verse 6 doesn't say the farmer ought to have first share. No, it's the hard-working farmer. My wife knows I'm not much of a farmer, but nevertheless, will a lazy farmer, a wannabe farmer, is he going to even have a crop? Probably not. Meaning, if we truly want to receive the fruit, the crown of heaven, the prize, we must patiently and earnestly work hard for the glory of God as He prepares the way. Again, Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He perseveres diligently, boldly, courageously, because it is a high calling, a holy calling, to trust and obey. Who are we going to trust and obey? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, let's please turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Yes, Hebrews 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For ye have need of patience. Yes, we need patience. Now, I'm sure you'll be tremendously surprised when I tell you that I need patience. How long will it be before these tyrants will be held to account for their crimes against humanity? How long will before we receive the fullness of the promise of heaven? Lord, how long will it be before you return in glory? Let's move on to verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And further to that, I just love Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. The darkness of these days, of this present age, has had its way for a time, a season. But it's almost over. The prince of this world is on the ropes, isn't he? He thinks he's having the last laugh. You see, we already know the light of Christ has come. And therefore, we must continue to earnestly contend for the faith like a good soldier and an athlete that strives lawfully and a farmer who works hard. Because we do have a cause, a holy and divine cause. Yes, you know what it is, the cause of Christ. Preparing for His return and the glorious age to come. That is the joy of salvation. Okay, moving on, verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what I say. Paul encourages Timothy, his dearly beloved son in Christ, to consider his words. And those words are meant for us also. But how will we consider them correctly? How will we? It must be by prayer and supplication and humble submission to God in Christ. The world, yes, and those in the world will never tell us the truth, will they? Do you actually believe the globalist cabal will ever tell the truth? Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul was an apostle appointed by Christ, and therefore his words were divinely inspired, words we must consider, words we will understand correctly only as we repent and receive salvation again in Christ alone. Now notice as Paul says, the Lord give you understanding. Is that all? No. The Lord give you understanding in all things. Important, isn't it? In all things. In everything. Everything. In Christ, in the power of his salvation, he will give us understanding, wisdom, discernment, inspiration, encouragement. In a few things? No, in all things. In everything. Remember what verse 7, chapter 1 said. Another verse. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just love it. You know, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power. I got the wrong way around, sorry. But of power and love and a sound mind. Because it's a transformed and a renewed mind. A God-given sound mind. So that as we consider the sound words of God, we will, in all things, consider them correctly and truthfully. Again, always led by God the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. So I'm wondering, is there anything better than having understanding in all things? Isn't that what we need even in these days? And who is the only one who can fulfill that need? Well, we read it, didn't we? Doesn't say the Lord and, the Lord with. No, it says the Lord give the understanding in all things. The Lord, strong and mighty, is the only one who can provide understanding truthfully, and it will be a holy understanding in all things. You see, there's no doubt, if we're honest, that sometimes, yes, it is actually hard to remain faithful, to trust and obey God solely. Because circumstances, yes, I mean, to be honest, circumstances, yeah, the stuff of life can tempt us to doubt God's word, to doubt his promises, to even doubt verse 7. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And yet in Christ, as we read, we must strive, as it says in verse 5, to strive lawfully, holding fast to the standard of sound words, sound doctrine, the holy word of God. All right, let's turn, if you like, to Numbers chapter 23. I believe that's the fourth book, Old Testament. Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? For he has spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. So how do we receive this godly understanding in all things? It's by receiving salvation in Christ alone. By acknowledging your sin. By acknowledging, yes, you have rebelled and insulted a holy God who created you in his image. By prayerfully coming to the cross of Christ and acknowledging that on the cross he died for your sin, for my sin, to make atonement for our sin, to satisfy the justice of God. There is no love of God unless there is a justice of God. We need to understand that. We speak about love so often in church and forget that the true love of God must have the justice of God. And Christ on the cross satisfied that justice on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." And he reminds us again at the end, "in him." In Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, my hope and my prayer is that you will acknowledge your need, that we will acknowledge our need, and surrender. It's important. Time is of the essence, and surrender your life to the will of God in Christ. That even today you will repent and turn. That's what repentance means, turn. Turn to God in Christ. And then what? Receive the mercies of God. Saved and forgiven. And yes, then, with understanding in all things. For Jesus, for his sake alone, amen. Amen.